when the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone there for me.
With John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and brings guests William Powell, William Gargan, and Peggy Lee. And now we bring you the mighty hunter who just blew in from Elko, Nevada with a 4-point buck, the Daniel Boone of the 20th century, and the handyman with a gun, Mr. Bing Crosby.
Just a minute, Kenneth. My gun goes bing.
All right, then, Bing Crosby.
Right. So you found out I'd been deer hunting, huh, Ken?
Oh, yes. I saw a picture of you in the paper. When you got off the train, you had two beautiful deer with you.
No, Ken, I only had one deer. The other was Bill Gargan.
That boy needs a haircut.
Yes, or maybe a Tony Coldwave to tighten up his curls or something. Set it a little better.
Thing, how did you get the deer over here from Nevada?
I brought it on the train, the city of San Francisco. We shared an upper berth.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What about Gargan?
Well, he's a very bad shot. He had to sleep alone.
Oh, that's a shame.
However, Ken, my deer, I find him great company. We're rooming together here.
What?
Yes.
You got that deer at the St. Francis with you?
Who's at the St. Francis? We're living in a cold storage locker. Keep that meat.
Sorry, yeah. Clark. Are you comfortable there?
Well, I am now, but it took a couple of days to get used to the hook.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's Gargan. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Bing. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Bill, Bing was just telling me about the deer he shot.
The deer he shot? I got that deer.
Yeah, yeah, time. Bill, we both shot at the same time, you remember?
Yeah.
Now, isn't it logical that the better hunter got the deer? I have a very keen eye, you know.
Well, so have I. Ever since I was a kid, I've been hunting squirrels the hard way.
Hunting squirrels the hard way? How's that?
I hit them on the head with a rock, then I shoot them through the lump.
Pretty good. Been around Bob Burns lately. Well, you might be all right with squirrels, but when it comes to deer, I can't give you much. You don't even know how to stalk an animal.
Oh, is that so?
You've got to be alert. Did you notice me when I was trailing that buck?
Yeah.
I had my ears to the ground all the time.
That wasn't all that was dragging.
Please.
Yeah. Now, are you going to admit that I shot the deer or not?
I tell you what, Bill, if it make you happy, you can have the deer.
On the level?
No, it's on a hook. Here's the key to my cold storage locker.
Well, thanks. And here's the key to my room at the palace.
Oh, it'll be great sleeping in a bed again. And horizontal, too. And now, if you gentlemen will excuse me, I do think it's time for a song. So here's Hair of Gold, dedicated to the Peroxide Corporation of America. Shall we then, John Scott? Down from Butte, Montana, for a little change of scene, and I stopped today in Santa Fe, where I met a pretty queen. Hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine, the prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine. Oh, I planned to leave on Monday, but she held me kind of tight. So I held my ground and I hung around, and I left on Friday night. Hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine, the prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine. I was kind of blue and lonely, so I took my horse and pack. And on Sunday morn, I was up and gone, heading south and riding back. At the gate, I found her waiting. I was happy as could be. Then I told her that I loved her too, and she said that she loved me. Hair of gold, eyes as blue, lips like cherry wine, the prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm gonna make her mine. I'm gonna make that pretty little gal with hair of gold and eyes of blue and lips like cherry wine all mine.
Oh, great, Bing.
I guess
I ought to sell a lot of peroxide.
Well, maybe so, but now it's time to sell a little Philco. You've been off the show for 2 weeks. You should be loaded.
Oh, I am, Bing.
Take to the hills, folks. This boy is gone.
I am real gone, Bing. And why not? I got the hottest story since they took the horns off phonographs. Philco's new kind of radio phonograph that plays the 45-minute record. On the level, folks, this is the greatest invention of our times in recorded music. Working with the experts who produced the long-playing record, Philco engineers have created an amazing new tone arm, Philco's Balanced Fidelity Reproducer. Now, to begin with, it's lightweight. And if you want to know how light is lightweight, just take a nickel out of your pocket and heft it in your hand. That's all the pressure Philco's new tone arm puts on the record. And starting from there, the Philco Laboratories designed an entirely new kind of reproducer to bring out the wonderful tone fidelity of the long-playing records. They're made of high-quality vinylite, you know, non-breakable, and so lifelike you won't believe you're listening to a record when you hear them on a Philco. As for record scratch, well, you just don't hear it. Get a free demonstration now of this marvelous new phonograph invention from Philco, the leader.
Mr. Joe Venuti, the well-known pizza baker and violinist, has collaborated with Lee Jarvis on a tune called Ain't Doing Bad, Doing Nothing. Say, Joe, I hear your tune ain't doing bad.
I hear it ain't doing nothing.
Well, let's get in here and push it.
I ain't doing bad, doing nothing. Just laying round all day. I'm telling you, the less I do, the more things come my way. When I get up in the morning, thinking of the day ahead, makes me so downright weary. I'd go right back to my bed. Why should I ever worry? It's such a losing game. Why should I move when I can prove that I get there just the same? Ain't doing bad, doing nothing. Somehow it seems to pay. I ain't doing bad, doing nothing. Just laying around all the day. Look at me and say, be something. How much more is it gonna pay? I ain't doing bad, doing nothing. Just laying round all the day. Just laying round all day.
Tonight, folks, we welcome back a girlfriend of yours and of mine. She's sort of been playing hooky from our little Philco Fun Fest for a time. She's a great singer. Got her own show now for Chesterfield. And as far as we're concerned, we'll always buy Peggy Lee. Purr something into the mic, Peggy.
Hi, Bing.
Hi.
Peggy, you've changed. There's something different.
Well, sure, Bing. I have a new coiffure.
Yeah, and you've had your hair cut, too. Very soigné.
Well, thank you.
Now, have you got a real mellow tune for us, Cicero?
Well, I thought I might do Love, Your Magic Spell Is Everywhere.
Oh, I'm just going to pull up a chaise lounge and get spellbound out of this American country.
Love, your magic spell is everywhere. Love, I knew you well and found you fair. Then you left me and I laughed at fate. Is it too late? Love, your melody is in the air. Yet I call you and you are not there. Come.
Thank you, Peggy. It's a pleasure now to introduce a gentleman who is tops in the movie industry. You remember him as the man who was thin. As a senator, he was indiscreet. As father, he had quite a life. And under the name of Mr. Peabody, he holds the record mermaid catch with three thread line and light tackle. You've all won the jackpot question because everybody knows it's William Powell.
Thank you, Bing.
Well, Bill, it's certainly nice of you to come up for our show. Is this your first trip to San Francisco?
No, Bing. I came up here years ago with Portola.
Oh, now, just a minute, Don. Hey, Don Gaspar de Portola discovered San Francisco Bay in 1769. Surely you weren't kicking around then.
Oh, I don't mean Portola the explorer, Bing.
No.
This was Max Portola, my chauffeur.
Oh.
We drove up here to make a Thin Man picture.
Hey, Bill, speaking of the Thin Man, you remember that other detective you used to play, Philco Vance?
Bing, that's Philo Vance. Just, look at your script.
It's Philco Vance. Look at your contract. You know, Bill, I'm glad, really, to have this opportunity to talk to you, because I've always admired you as an actor. You're so suave and so polished.
Yes, Bing, and the polish of my acting has received official recognition.
What do you mean?
The Johnson Wax Company has just voted me their man of distinction.
Well, isn't that... And I'll bet you never drank a glass of wax in your entire life. I bet you use it on your stash. They'll say, tell me, Bill, is that mustache real?
I didn't buy it from I.J. Fox.
No, but Bill, what I was getting at, I would like your advice on something. What could I do to help my acting?
Well,
oh, well, how about my singing?
Yeah, how about that? Seriously, though, Bing, there's nothing wrong with your acting because you don't act. With you, it just comes naturally.
But I'm tired. I'm tired of being just little old me.
Oh, well, if you really want to ham it up, I think you should try to be more dashing, more swashbuckling.
Well, I can't be swashbuckling. Every time I swash, I buckle.
You know, Bing, I was thinking the other day, there's a good deal of coincidence in the pictures we've made.
A coincidence? What do you mean, Bill?
Well, I've made a lot of detective stories, and now I hear you're going to make a detective story.
It's true.
Anne Blythe was my leading lady in Mr. Peabody and the Mermaid, and now she's going to be your leading lady.
Yeah, and that mermaid's of age now. I won't have to throw her back.
But here's a further coincidence, Bing. I made Life with Father, and now I understand you're going to be a father.
Gonna be a father? Bill, where have you been?
Yes, that's right. The stork did bless you and Dixie with a boy, didn't he?
Bless? We were bombarded. See, you know, if I could handle our kids like you did in Life with Father...
Well, children were much easier to handle in those days, Bing. It was a slower-paced era.
Anyhow, this gives me an idea. Bill, why don't we do a gay 90s play? Bill Gargan and I would be dashing young blades who are in love with Peggy Lee, and you'd be her father.
Oh, no. I want to be a gay young blade, too.
But, Bill, you were so good in Life with Father.
Forget Life with Father. Give me a part where there's life in Father.
Bill, you can be a gay young blade, and Gargan will play the father. You don't mind, do you, Gargan?
You're darn right I mind.
What a sweetheart that Gargan is. John, whip us back to the gay 90s, will you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 1890. The place is beautiful Telegraph Hill overlooking San Francisco Bay.
Hey. Hmm? I saw you with a pretty blonde yesterday. Let's go call on her.
William Powell, you're a cad.
I'm a card, too. Well, come on, let's go call on your girl.
Well, her name is Peggy Lee Gargan, and her father is a police officer.
Police Officer Gargan, huh? Mm-hmm. I hear he's pretty tough.
Yes, sirree. He sure raised Cain when I brought Miss Peggy home last night.
Ooh. Her old man put his foot down, huh?
That ain't where he put it. Here is Peggy's house.
Well, knock on the door.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. May I kiss your hand?
Well, of course.
You know, Peggy, I was, Peggy! Why, that blundering Powell missed her hand and caught her square on the mouth.
You sure have nice friends, Mr. Crosby.
Gee, Peggy, remember last night when I hired the buggy and a team of horses and how I headed them into the woods and how we were parked there for over an hour?
Yes, and I didn't even notice the time with all that kissing going on.
Me neither. Those two horses sure were in love with each other. You know, watching them made me think of you and me. Why don't we be like them and get hitched?
Well, I've thought a lot about marrying you, Mr. Crosby, but now that I've met Mr. Powell, I've changed.
I don't understand.
That's because you're not a woman. My dear Miss Peggy, I would be honored indeed to have your hand in marriage. Think how happy we could be together. You and I on a bicycle built for two. And maybe someday we'll have a bicycle built for three.
And what will the other little seat be for?
I figure I ought to have some place to put my feet while you're pedaling.
I guess it's up to you to choose between us, Miss Peggy.
Oh, but that's not for me to decide. You must ask my father.
What's going on here?
Sir, I came to ask permission to marry your daughter.
Me too.
I'm sorry, but I've already promised her hand to Timothy Michael Patrick Francis O'Doole.
An Irish lad, huh?
I never thought of it that way. It makes no difference to me what an Irishman's nationality is. Say, by the way, what's your name?
Crosby, sir.
And what makes you think you could support my daughter?
Well, sir, I've studied singing. I've been studying light opera.
Light opera? Seems to me I've heard of it.
Well, it's very fine. Do you like Gilbert and Sullivan?
Who?
I say, do you like Gilbert and Sullivan?
I like Sullivan.
What about Gilbert? What about Gilbert?
Well, he's all right with Sullivan. He's all right with me. By the way, young Crosby, what about this other fella? Who is this cake eater? What do you do for a living?
I hope someday to be an actor.
Well, my daughter isn't going to marry you, and she isn't going to marry that singer. I don't want a singer in my family.
But you already have a singer in your family. Miss Peggy sings mighty pretty.
Well, that's different.
Come on, Miss Peggy, let's sing a song for your father.
All right.
And what will I do?
You go over in the corner and act. You like this song, Mr. Gargan. It's so brand new, it won't be written for 50 years.
You came a long way from St. Louis. You climbed the ladder of success. I've seen the town and country cars that were parked out in front of your fancy address.
I came a long way from St. Louis.
Yes, indeed, you've been around.
You broke a lot of hearts between.
Metal gang of gloomy guys who were doing all right.
Till I came on the scene.
You fractured them.
You blew in from the middle west.
First class.
Suddenly impressed the population hereabouts.
Well, baby, I got news for you. I'm from Missouri, too. So naturally, I got my doubts.
I got them dropping by the wayside.
A feeling I ain't gonna know. Came a long way from St. Louis, but baby, you still got a long way to go.
Say, Peg, you're a North Dakota gal, and I hail, as the fella says, from the state of Washington.
Well, partner, that's an opening for a parody, if I ever heard one.
Certainly appears so.
You came a long way from Tacoma.
Really took it on the land. Should have stood in bed and spoken instead, but I just lost my head. What a hand. You came a long way from Dakota.
I should have stayed back on the farm.
We'd have missed you.
Some people say it probably would have been better, but somebody twisted my arm.
You came here from the Middle West and certainly impressed the population hereabouts.
I never thought I'd see the day I'd sing with you this way.
You mean you ever had your doubts?
I didn't do so well in Memphis.
I laid an egg in Tennessee. And we remember all the times we were fired.
Or else we were hired for free.
So we won't be forgetting, you know, that we still have a long way to go.
Travelogue. I really enjoyed you came a long way from St. Louis.
Okay, Carp, we know you got a commercial that came a long way from Philadelphia.
Well, it may be, Bing, but anyway, it's just a short walk to your Philco dealer where you can get a free demonstration of the first big-time phonograph invention since the automatic record changer. Philco has just come out with a whole series of revolutionary new radio phonographs that leave the conventional phonograph as dead as a dodo bird. Now, these new Philcos give you not only a new kind of record changer with a two-speed turntable that plays two different kinds of records, but also two separate tone arms. One plays your standard records automatically, and the other is an entirely new reproducer specially designed for the new 45-minute record. This new type of reproducer was pioneered in the Philco laboratories at the request of the engineers who developed the long-playing record. Together, they're a matchless music combination. So if you want to find out what this new long-playing record is all about, listen to The Real Thing on a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
Still a very big song this season. Sung with great success by Doris Day, featured vocalist on a certain comedian's radio show. practically saved as the show every week.
You sigh, the song begins. You speak and I hear violins. It's magic. The stars desert the skies and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic. Without a golden wand or mystic charm, fantastic things begin when I am in your arms. When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland. It's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? It's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you.
Well, it's time now. Well, it's high time now to move along. To thank you folks who have gathered here in the San Francisco Civic Auditorium to drop your dollars in the hat for the Boys Club of America and for the Bellarmine Preparatory College Building Firm. Also, my thanks to William Powell, William Gargan, and Peggy Lee for a great contribution in the entertainment department.
I enjoyed being here, Bing.
Me too.
What happens next week, Bing?
Next week, Peg, you're going to be with us.
Well, thank you.
And also, we will have Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd. Should be quite a show.
Well, Bing, aren't you going to have Edgar Bergen on the program, too?
I don't know, Bill. I guess not.
You got to have Bergen. Charlie and Mortimer can't talk without him.
All right, then they can sing.
Well, they can't sing without Bergen either.
Well, maybe I should get Bergen. He can sing for me, too.
Say, that deer I shot is available for guest shots, Bing.
No, we'll hold him for television, Bill. Thank you, you talented ones, and good night, folks, and thanks very much.
This program was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guests, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Edgar Bergen, and Peggy Lee. William Powell appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture, The Three Musketeers, starring Lana Turner, Gene Kelly, and June Ellison. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the newest thing in radio phonographs from Philco, the leader.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
all radio time. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Heirs, and Bing's guests, Adolf Manju and Kay Starr.
Gee, Mr. Manju going to be here?
Yep. Great actor.
And Kay Starr?
Mm-hmm. Great singer.
Oh, gee. Leaves nothing for me to do tonight.
Why, what do you do, bud?
Well, I act and I sing. My name is Crosby.
Oh, glad to know you. What type of songs do you do, Mr. Crosby?